So these are practice meetings, and Carrie and I are going to split these meetings up. I'll tell the whole room when we come back together. I'll do the morning one, she'll do the afternoons. And so I want to see if there's any questions you can have about practicing with this. And if there's anything that comes up with the practicing, if you've had questions about it, we're just going to see if there's any questions around the first foundation and practicing with it. Yeah. Wait for the mic here so before we can all hear. Sorry.
It was interesting hearing the description of the energy around the walking meditation, which actually made me wonder, then why don't we start with walking and then go to sitting?
We could. It wouldn't. I think the beauty of starting with the sitting is that it forces the body to be still.
Mm.
And it gives us a sense of stillness to start with.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably where it comes from.
Yeah.
There's a question over here.
Sorry, I always have questions.
Oh, no, you're good. We like questions.
I'm trying to sort of think about embodiment, but we end up talking about the body quite a bit. So can you talk a little bit more about that distinction?
So we use the word body. But when I say embodiment, let's say I'm talking about your ears, right? The sense door of the ears. When we think of the body, we think of the body as listening to something. But you're not actually listening to anything. The hearing is something this body, hearing is an embodied experience. It comes from the body itself, but you can't control it one way or the other. You can't control how much you hear. You can't control your level of hearing. That all comes from the body itself. And so the word embodiment is just the experience of hearing and not the judgment of do I hear good or do I not hear good. Just the experience of hearing itself. Just like the embodiment of breathing is just the experience of the body breathing and not controlling whether you have a good breath or a bad breath or a long breath or a shallow breath. You just are experiencing the body breathing itself. You see? So that's, as we get further in, we just happen to be using the sense doors on this one. This next sit we're going to have, we're going to use the elements, and it'll feel a little bit different. All right. Yeah.
So you mentioned the 32 parts, and I heard on another talk that the Buddha mentioned also or highlighted five parts, five first ones.
Yeah.
The teeth, hair. Can you tell a little bit more about this?
So what you're thinking of is, so the Buddha said 32 body parts. But for monastics, they will sit there and they will learn all 32 of those body parts. And it gets very, very, very minute. But for us in daily life, as lay practitioners, people have narrowed it down between 3 and 5, a way to categorize them in a way that we can kind of sense into it. So it's flesh, it's bones, skin, flesh, bones, and then there's the the actual different types of bones, teeth, bones itself. Yeah, that's what that is. Fingernails. So it's just a way that we, because we don't usually have the amount of time or precision to do the full 32 body parts. Some people do, but most of us could easily access the fingernails, teeth, bones, the flesh, our skin, organs, things like that. We can do it in this more grosser way. But the idea is to get us to sense these body parts itself. So you're feeling not my fingernails. You're feeling the hardness of the fingernails and the hardness of the bones. So even though we're sitting here, which is part of what we're going to look at when we come back, but even though we're sitting here and we're all sitting on our bums and there's a whole bunch of fleshy part there, we can still feel the sit bones as if we're sitting on bone, because that hardness is part of an embodied experience right now. So that's sort of what it's just to help us kind of connect to it. There's one other thing that could be what you're talking about, I'm not sure, so I'm going to check. There are five parts that make up a body, a person, you know, that make up our sense of me. It's the body, it's the consciousness, my perceptions, and I'm not sure if you're talking about that, but that is something completely different.
I think I was talking about the first part that you mentioned.
Yeah, the teeth and the nails. Right. Yeah, so that's a condensing it down so you can get a sense of the body itself. Yeah.
Thank you. This is something that comes up usually when I'm trying to practice by myself at home. And that is, I will sit down with all the good intention of meditation and practicing, and not 5 seconds in, I will feel thirsty or need to use the bathroom or find some other need of my body that is persistent and difficult to not fulfill. And I find that trying to ignore it is futile. Trying to get up and get its needs met kind of destroys the mood, and I'm unable to get back to practice.
Mm-hmm.
So how do I deal with it?
Yeah. So it is a habit mind that you're kind of trapped in. So you can pee before you sit, get some water, right? Whatever those little things are, then you sit down. The mind will try to convince you you need to. And it will take a bit of time before you can help the mind realize that you don't need to. But it's like an itch. Once you scratch it, then the itch comes back to another spot. And then you scratch that one and you're like, you know, eventually you're going to have to stop. So you can set a timer for a short sit, right? Because this habit is going to come up right after you sit down. So let's say you set the timer for a 15-minute sit. Even if you have to pee or drink water, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, not going to kill you. So you just stay there. You just stay there. You know, the mind will come up and say, no, I got to go. I got to go. I got to go. But you just say, okay, not now. And we'll just sit. and try to come back to your object again, right? And then eventually it will settle down. It takes a while, several times, to break a habit, but you just consistently keep doing it. And let the sits be shorter. Don't plan on sitting down for a 45-minute sit, because the mind will. It's too long for the mind to have to learn this habit. But if you sit for 20 minutes, and let's say you want to meditate for, 45 minutes. So plan on doing 20 minutes of sitting and 20 minutes of walking. It's the same thing. You're still, 25 minutes of walking, 25 minutes of sitting, 20 minutes walking. It's the same thing. But it will help your mind not get overwhelmed with the fear of sitting. And so you just have it sit, and then you get up and you walk. And chances are, as soon as you get up to walk, the thirstiness and the having to pee will go away. But to the mind, those two, sitting and walking, will be connected. And eventually you'll just sit for the 45 minutes if you want to. Do you see?
Thank you. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. Thank
yeah. You. So just take care of the water and the peeing before. So that way your mind knows you don't really have to go. That way your heart knows you don't have to go. Your mind's going to still swear you got to go. So it's more of your heart knows it's okay. We're okay. Right? So, and then do a shorter sit. So you can stay with it without, you don't have, the urgency of it won't make any sense if you're only doing 20 minutes sit. And then walk the rest of the period.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Dragon Yogi, did you have your hand up? Was that what you did? Okay. You can't get the. Hold on a second. Okay, you should be able to do it now. Okay,
all right, here we are. Yeah.
Good. Yes, good.
Gratitude and appreciation. Sadhu.
All right, thank you.
The question was working on the four foundations, and I contemplate daily about the body and feelings and the mind and the dhammas. And in the body, I'd been practicing the feelings, pleasant, unpleasant, neutral. But also in the body, I started doing the elements, and I was how we go about reading the sutta about internal and external.
Yes, that's what we're body. About to. We're about to do that in the next set.
Okay.
I'll give you kind of a heads up. So the other part of being present is being aware of what this experience is of internal and external. Okay. The more we're externalizing, the less present we are. The more mm-hmm. we're internalizing, the more present we can become. Or you can balance the two, internal and external, in the present moment. So that's what we're going to begin to look at when we come back.
All right. Thank you.
Good. Susan?
Yes, thank you. I found the raised hand button. I just love the reshaping of the language you're using. It's touching me in a beautiful way. And because I realize I can sit in my body and feel the heaviness, but I'm not aware of the embodiment of the present moment, what it's doing. So it's really wonderful to hear that. But one thing I wanted to say, which really I was taken by, was your phrasing of the body is dying and living at the same moment. And what that gave me a spontaneous gratitude and joy for this preciousness of life. And I don't know if that was an underlying current of the satipatthana, that, you know, gratitude and joy will arise. But I'm wondering how to practice with that a little more, about the body is living and dying at the same time.
Yeah. Well, when we think of death, we always seem to associate it with some kind of morbid sadness, grief and finality, and something bad is happening because of death. But I think what the Buddha was pointing to is the physical body is going to die. It's on this process of dying from the moment we wake up. I mean, the moment we're born, we're in this process of dying. So dying is a natural thing that just sort of happens. And the more I think his pointing to knowing the body as a corpse is what's creating a kind of a wedge between you thinking you are your physical body, because that can't possibly be you. There's something that's alive, that's a sense of knowing aliveness, and it's not that you are in this physical body. You could chop off one of your arms and you'd still be Susan. You could chop off both arms, you'd still be Susan. You could chop off both arms and both legs, you'd still be Susan. So there's something else that makes you Susan that's not this physical body. And so this recognition that this physical body is decaying, and at the same time you can begin to feel that aliveness and establish this present moment aliveness, because you are not dead. And that I the more I think about the death contemplations on this being my last breath, the more alive you actually feel, because it's not your last breath. And so it doesn't have the morbidity of dying, like death and, oh, it's sad. It's more of recognizing you're not the body and you're very much alive.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah, good. Thank you. Okay. Why don't we end here so you have an opportunity to go and use a restroom or whatever, so that we can come back and have the next sit. Thank you.